Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I guess we should say congratulations, TK.
Absolutely. I told him congratulations yesterday.
Did you really?
I did.
You could have clued me in.
Well, I thought you knew.
We were lucky enough to be joined by Penguins defenseman, future Hall of Famer, two-time Norris Trophy recipient Erik Karlsson yesterday. And we asked Erik Karlsson, dude, you're old. What's it like playing with all the youngsters? How about Harrison Brunick, 19-year-old, who's made the Penguins roster, and Dan Muse has confirmed is going to play tonight against the New York Rangers. Are you taking him under your wing, Mr. Karlsson?
No, I think that's one of the organic things in our sport. We've all been in the same positions that a lot of these young guys are. You know, he's one of them. I think he's had a really good camp. He's really shown that, he wants to be here, and he's done everything that's been asked of him. And, hopefully he can keep playing at a high enough level where he can stick around and keep progressing along the way. So looking forward to getting to spend some more time around him and get to know him, on a personal and professional level, and hopefully from what it looks like, it seems like a guy that is determined to be a good player in this league.
So there you go. Erik Karlsson talking about a 19-year-old. Meanwhile, Chris Letang will be playing his 20th season with the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins will also be debuting Ben Kindle tonight, who is 18 years old, was their first-round draft pick, one of their first-round draft picks this year, and how about this? So, Ben Kindle, like I mentioned, 18 years old. Crosby had already had a quarter of a Hall of Fame career before this kid was even born, Doran.
That's insane.
The Penguins tweeted this out last night. So, before Ben Kindle was born, Sidney Crosby had 222 points in 160 games. One Art Ross Trophy, one Hart Trophy, one Ted Lindsay Award. That is insane, and I think this is the story of the 2025-2026 Pittsburgh Penguins. The young and the old coming together like a Bill Belichick relationship, Doran.
Yep.
How's it all going to work out? What do you think is the best case scenario for the Penguins this year? What do you think is the best thing that could happen for this franchise?
Man, that's a tough question, yeah. Honestly. I don't know. What I think is going to happen is different than what I think should happen, clearly, and I think that's a lot of people. You want to see them probably not be as good and maybe get a chance at
Gavin McKenna.
McKenna from Penn State. You would love to see that, the passing of the torch and just how lucky we would be for the last, over 40 years of having a star player on the roster. You would love to see that situation, but there's just a part of me that feels like Crosby, Letang, even Malkin and Karlsson, Rust, Raquel, I don't think that those guys are going to go away quietly. I feel like that they're going to find a spark, a fresh voice in the room, whether it's, a younger coach that is looking to rebuild or not. I just think that those guys needed a fresh start and a fresh outlook on just playing hockey at this time period of their life. I feel like that they're going to be decent and too decent enough, honestly, to really compete. I don't think that they're not going to go out there and not compete.
Right.
So You put a bunch of those guys in a room, you got a fresh voice, you got a bunch of young guys surrounding them. Dare I say that they may be decent this year? Good?
I think they're going to be decent, and that's the worst thing they could possibly be.
I know.
There are only two options I'm okay with this year, and I think they're going to fall smack dab in the middle, which is the worst place to be. I think you either suck and you get a bottom five spot in the NHL, and hopefully the lottery ball bounces your way, and you get a big-time pick, and maybe the best pick, which would be Gavin McKenna, who already burst onto the scene for Penn State against a really good Arizona State team. He had two assists in Game 1. He had the game-winning goal in Game 2. He's playing against men, and he already looks the part. That guy's going to be a stud. He already is a stud. But the other six or seven guys that are in that realm, maybe a cut below him, are all better than probably anybody that was in last year's draft.
Right.
So you either stink and get one of those guys, or you make the playoffs. And if they made the playoffs with Sid and Gino and Letang, I'm good with it.
Me too.
In fact, it'd be great to just see those guys in a playoff series again. And I think if they get good goaltending and they could be good on special teams, I think because the East sucks, there's a puncher's chance they could make the playoffs. A lot of stuff has to go right. You got to stay healthy. Malkin can't be as bad as he was at times last year. And again, you got to stay healthy. But you either suck or you make the playoffs. Anything else in between is
bad.
A cataclysmic failure.
Bad.
Now, here's what I want to see. Harrison Brunick, we mentioned him already, 19 years young. If he plays more than 9 games with the Penguins, he's got to stay up here for the entire season. If they decide he's not ready, he has to be sent to the major junior team in Canada. He doesn't even get to be sent to the AHL because there's a stupid rule. If you're a teenager and you don't stay beyond 9 games, you can't even go to the American Hockey League.
Hmm.
So that's going to change next year. You can have one player that's a teenager that you could designate to go to the AHL. So roundabout way of me saying this. Keep Brunick up here for the whole season. He has nothing to be gained from playing against boys. He doesn't. He's already outgrown that level. Ben Kindle, I'm not sure, is going to be here longer than 9 games because the Penguins are dealing with some forward injuries, and when they get healthy, I would imagine that he will get sent to his Canadian team, and he'll just marinate down there, and then you see what happens after that. But if he plays well in 9 games, keep him up.
Mm-hmm.
Brunick, he should be up no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Murashov, who is thought of as a potential star goaltender who's going to start the season in the AHL, if he's lighting it up down there and you're not getting good enough goaltending up here, get his ass up. This season needs to be about young players developing, meshing with the old guys who can be the veteran leadership. And if those young guys melded with the old, wind up surprising you, and you make the playoffs, that's great.
That's the point.
Exactly.
Right. So if you get there earlier, then probably we think that they might. Oh, then great.
And
it's
if,
a bonus. In
and
my
if
opinion.
It doesn't, I'm with you on that. Right. And if it doesn't happen, so what? Let Harrison Brunick take his lumps this year.
Yeah.
Let Ben Kindle, 18-year-old, take his lumps this year and just see what happens. You've got Koivunen who's going to play on Crosby's wing. I'm not saying that this is exactly what it's going to be, but he gives me some Jake Guentzel vibes. The way he thinks the game, the way him and Crosby play a little tic-tac-toe down below the circles. I think they have actually some good young pieces, and I'm really excited that at some point Murashev's going to be up here. And he was by far their best goaltender by all accounts in camp and by all the games that I watched in the preseason. He was their best goaltender. And then their second best goaltender was Artur Silovs, whose name I've butchered 15 times pre-show and I will continue to do today. He's 24. He's a Calder Cup champion. He led the Latvian team to a medal for the first time in the World Championships. He actually has a Stanley Cup playoff shutout to his name, and he's 24 years old. He should get the start tonight, and he should play more than Tristan Jarry. He's a lottery ticket. He's 24. Like I said, he's got some pedigree. He's a 6th-round pick, but he's done some good things already.
Mm-hmm.
He has NHL experience. See what this guy can do. I've seen enough Jari. You've seen enough Jari. Kalas has seen enough Jari. We've all seen enough Jari. Now, if you're going full bore tank, which you don't want to do early, you see if you can be competitive early. You go full bore tank. Okay, fine, play Jari because he's inconsistent,
right,
and he gets hurt, and he might let in a first shot a time or two because he damn near set an NHL record with that last season, as did the Penguins. But play the young guy. And then at some point, we saw last year, they're not afraid to send Tristan Jari down. They did twice to the AHL. Then you bring Murashov up, and you see what he can do. I actually think they've got a handful of good young players.
Yeah, they do. You know, a question that I wanted to ask Carlson yesterday, but I knew I wasn't going to get the answer that I wanted, was, you know, can you feel at practice and in training camp like it being a rebuild? Or do you feel like it's like, okay, well, we are going to try to win? Like, and obviously he's going to be like, yeah, we're going to try to win.
Right.
Like, that's why I didn't ask the question, because you're just going to get a professional response from Carlson, which I understand. But like, sometimes you can feel in a situation, it's like, yeah, we're not going to be that good. Or, hey, we may have a chance. Like, he knows. He's 35 years old. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He knows what good and what bad is.
Yes.
I wanted to ask that question, but I knew I wasn't going to get the answer that I wanted. I wonder what it feels like every single day at practice leading up to tonight.
It seems like from what you hear, that the older guys are feeding off the energy of the younger guys.
That's what the interview felt like.
It did. And they're so competitive. Carlson's competitive. Letang, Malkin, and of course Sidney Crosby is captain competitive. They're going to bust their ass early. I think they're going to play better systematic hockey under Dan Muse. I think they've been lacking structure for years. I think that might lead them, even though they don't have a great defense core, to play a little bit of better defense this year. And if you get good enough goaltending, maybe you can surprise people. No one thought Washington would be good last year.
Mm-mm.
And they wound up being the best team in the NHL in the regular season. They probably didn't think they were going to be good. And you see it, I feel like, in the NHL more than any other sport. If you got a good system and you got players who buy into the system, you can stack points. You can stack wins. You can surprise people. And I'm not going to rule that out for this Penguins team. Now, you and I, our official prediction is they're probably going to finish somewhere between really bad and good, which is the worst possible place to be. What happens at the deadline if they're bad? What happens at the deadline if they're good? We'll get into that coming up next. You can weigh in on the conversation at 412-928-9370. Starting off with hockey, because the Penguins are dropping the puck on their season tonight. What could be, and probably will be, Evgeny Malkin's last in a Penguins sweater. We'll get Jeff Hathorn's thoughts on the Penguins coming up at 7. Tons of football talk mixed into the program today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah,
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As well. Penguins drop the puck on their season tonight against their old boss, Michael Sullivan. It's going to look weird with him on the Rangers bench. Love Sully and what he brought to the Penguins for his many years, but looking forward to the Dan Muse era. Man who looks like Joe Block, but has a deep, booming voice and says the word connectivity a lot.
Connectivity.
Mm-hmm. That's what the system's all about, connectivity. I don't know why I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable initially, but I did. Real quick first, USA Today, they've published their most recent bowl projections for college football. We knew this would happen. We knew that Penn State and Texas would eventually meet in a postseason game. We just all thought it might be the national championship or the college football playoff. Penn State and Texas, according to USA Today, projected to go to the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Where's that at?
I don't know. December Houston? 31st.
Is it in Houston?
I'm on it.
ReliaQuest Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Tampa, Florida.
Oh, okay.
A little pirate ship action.
Yeah.
The house that Warren Sapp built.
Yeah, Warren Sapp. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tom Brady. And now...
Mike Allstott.
MVP candidate, perhaps MVP frontrunner, Baker Mayfield. Good job, Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Oh, good.
Real smart.
Mm-hmm.
412-928-9370 is the number to call. The fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, not affiliated with Mike Sullivan, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. If the Penguins are in it at the deadline, that'd be fascinating. What do you do? Because there's been much speculation about Brian Rust, about Rickard Rakell, about whether or not Erik Karlsson had his no-move clause waived, which he was asked about, not by us yesterday because he already answered it, at training camp. He said he was not asked to waive his no-move clause. Evgeny Malkin implied that while this might be his last season in Pittsburgh, he wouldn't totally rule out the fact that he could play next year in the NHL. And so those are all guys that could move, like Anthony Mantha. We expect if he plays well and they're out of it, he's going to move. And there are other pieces too. But I'm intrigued, if they're good, do you add? Probably. It depends how good. Like if you're in it, probably nothing. You might subtract.
Mm-hmm.
If you are substantially in a playoff spot.
For sure you add.
Then you add.
Yeah.
Then you add. I think you owe it to Sidney Crosby. I think you owe it to Evgeny Malkin and what could be his swan song with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, if you're out of it, I think any and all of those guys could be let go. I've always thought that if Rust sticks around beyond Sidney Crosby, that he might be the next Penguins captain.
Mm-hmm. Passing of the torch, like the guy that kind of transition guy.
Exactly. So he'd be the dude that I really wouldn't want to trade. And we're not going to entertain the trading Crosby thing right now. Did you see what happened, though, with Connor McDavid? 2-year contract.
His extension.
$12.5 million a year, which is far below what Kirill Kaprizov from Minnesota just signed for, making him the highest paid player in the NHL.
Yeah, but he signed for like 18?
Yeah. It's insane. Jeez. He's a good player, but... Like,
he's not Connor McDavid.
He ain't no Connor McDavid. Ain't nobody Connor McDavid right now. That guy's a stud. But McDavid just put the Oilers on notice. He could have signed a long-term deal for the majority of the rest of his career at a big number. He signed for less than he could. He signed for well shorter than he could. And you either win in these next couple of years if you're the Oilers, or he's going to be in L.A.,
yep,
or he's going to be in New York, or yep, dare I say, Pittsburgh would be nice. You're going to have like $50 million worth of cap space next year, I'm just saying. Next year doesn't matter, but you understand what I'm putting down.
Correct.
So that's fascinating to me. He kind of did the Crosby-Tom Brady thing. Like, I'm going to take less, and we're going to see if we can win. And if you do, great. He might stick around forever. If you don't, hold on to your butts, Oilers, because you've seen it before with Wayne Gretzky. But that's besides the point. Would you, at the deadline, trade Evgeny Malkin if he's okay with it? Like, I kind of love the idea of a retirement tour for him. He gets his flowers going around the NHL. You celebrate him here in Pittsburgh. But if he wants to win a championship, we saw last year, Brad Marchand got traded from Boston to Florida. Help them win a championship, and you got a 2027 conditional second-round pick for him. If Malkin wants to go chase a cup, I think I let Malkin go chase a cup.
Do you think he would? I don't think he would.
I think these guys yearn for competitive hockey. And if you're out of it to the point where you're just having no fun...
Does that take the place of being with your best friend?
I don't think it does for Sid or Letang, who are under contract for a little bit longer. But for Malkin, if this is going to be it, and you cut it like a month and a half short, that's, you're talking about 6 weeks. I could be with my boys for 6 more weeks, or I could go off to, let's just say, Florida or Tampa and go chase a championship. I don't know, to each their own. I would totally give him my blessing, though.
Yeah. I don't think he would do it, though.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
And I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah. I mean, he's already... It'd be different if he was in this point of his career where it was just his last year, and he is regarded as a Hall of Famer, and he hasn't won anything.
Right.
He already won.
Like Ray Bourque.
Yes.
Back in the day.
He's already won. There's nothing else. I mean, his resume is his resume. There's, I mean, you add one more trophy to his resume. Yeah, that's cool, but it'd be with a different team. I don't think that that is important to him at this point of his career because he's already done it. It's more important to probably stick it out here for 6 more weeks and retire a Penguin. That's just me, though.
Well, and there's no guarantee that where you go, you're definitely going to win a championship. I mean, you'd be taking a run at it. Now, Russia's not going to participate in the Olympics, which I think scratches an itch for guys like Carlson, guys like Sid. Like, you've got the Winter Olympics this year, and if you're out of it, hey, at least you can go compete for a championship. I think that was important for Crosby last year and all the guys that took part in the Four Nations face-off. Like, you just want to play competitive hockey. You want to be competing for trophies. And it's got to be so hard when that's all you've ever done. Up until the last 3 years, when Crosby and Malkin were in the lineup together, they didn't miss the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's had to have sucked for the last 3 years. But I do think the Olympics can scratch some of that itch. But for Malkin, because of the Russian crap, he's not going to get a chance. At least that's my understanding. 412-928-9370. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You could tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Carlson, I think we would agree on, if you're out of it, you would ask him to waive his no-move clause, and you would see if you get something for him. I'm probably there with Raquel. I'd have traded him at last year's deadline.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have traded him this offseason. He's an interesting case, though, because he's cheap relative to other 30-goal scorers in the league. And it depends on how quick you think this rebuild's going to go. Like I mentioned, they're going to have a ton of cap space next year. If Kindle and Brunick and Murashov and Koivunen all play well, and you think, oh, man, they're going to be good next year, and you've got all this cap space, and you've got Crosby, and you've got Letang coming back, like, do you want to hang on to him, even if you're not good at the deadline, because you think maybe next year you could be good? That's something you revisit at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd be a guy that I'm at least open-minded to because of his cost and his production level. Hey, if you're going to be good next year, if you think you've got a shot to be good next year, you might want to keep him around. 412-928-9370. Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. You think the Penguins will be good this year? It's a simple question. You can weigh in. 412-928-9370. Call us, text, and tweets on that when we come back. Also, if you missed it, the Kansas City Chiefs. Have they ceased being the Chiefs? And what would it mean for your Pittsburgh Steelers?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On second down, picked off, Lloyd again, Devin Lloyd, what a year, still rolling, down the sideline, one man to beat, Lloyd, pick six.
First and goal with 30 seconds left. Now Lawrence goes down, has to get up. Breaks a tackle. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
If you missed it last night, the Jags in Duval County beat the Chiefs 31-28. The Chiefs are sitting at 2-3. I think that's a bigger story than the Jags at 4-1. But it's weird. Trevor Lawrence statistically hasn't played great football.
No.
And here they are at 4-1, tied atop the AFC South with the Indianapolis Colts. I'm not going to ask the cliched question, are the Chiefs done? Because they're not done. But are the Chiefs fallible? Well, would they go 15-2 last year and they're 2-3 already this year? They are still going to make the playoffs, I think, and they're going to have something to say about who represents the AFC in the Super Bowl. They seem to flip that switch when the calendar flips to January. Like last year, they were like the least impressive 15-2 team possible, if that's even a thing, and they represented the AFC in the Super Bowl. I'm not writing them off, but they ain't getting the number one seed, I wouldn't think. They're 1-2 on the road. Is this the worst Chiefs team we've seen in a while, Doran?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I would never kill them off. I mean, they'd have to be killed off like...
Like the Ravens right
like
now.
Like the Ravens right now, exactly, before I start to get a little bit comfortable about the Chiefs not doing anything. I saw something last night, even though they lost the game, I saw something that on a drive, Mahomes just went 99 yards like it was nothing. Like it was nothing. Like that's still there.
I actually thought Mahomes looked as Mahomesian as we've seen. I know he threw the 99-yard pick six, but he had six carries for 60 yards and a touchdown. He threw for 318 yards and threw for a touchdown, and they're starting to get their pieces back. Xavier Worthy is an animal from a speed standpoint. Travis Kelce had seven catches for 61 yards. Hollywood Brown is there, and he's playing well. Xavier Worthy, like I mentioned, the six catches, 42 yards.
They're going to get Rashee Rice back, I think. Right.
And that's a big deal for them. That's a massive deal for them. So I'm not totally writing them off, but I don't think they're quite as good as they've been. And I heard Starkey say this yesterday, and he watches more Bills games than anybody, and I mean, it's not like we don't consume the Bills, and they've been on primetime a bunch. I don't know that their roster's very good, Buffalo's. Not saying it's bad.
It's not great.
But it's not great.
No.
And you've got Josh Allen, and we'll get into this maybe more in depth later on in the show, but we're talking about the Penguins. You either bottom out or you make the playoffs. This right here is why Art Rooney II in this organization, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they never won a tank. Lamar Jackson hurt. All of a sudden, the division's up for grabs. Don't ask Vegas because they still have the Ravens as the favorite, but there's a really good chance the Steelers are sitting there at 5-1 and the Ravens are 1-5, and then the odds will flip.
Mm-hmm.
No Joe Burrow. Cleveland's not very good. Buffalo, not infallible. Kansas City, not infallible. Indianapolis is good, but I don't think they replace Buffalo and Kansas City as like the juggernaut of the AFC, and I don't view Jacksonville that way. Good for them. This is a step in the right direction for a team that needed to figure out even more about Trevor Lawrence, a guy that they paid. But this is why you don't tank if you're the Steelers. That, coupled with the fact that the damn draft doesn't look like it's going to bear the fruit you thought it was going to, and I can't have any qualms. With the fact that the Steelers said we're going to go for it this year. Because can you imagine if they were tanking right now and Baltimore was 1-4 and Cincinnati doesn't have Joe Burrow and the Browns stink and none of these quarterbacks look like a sure thing? Oh, great. The Steelers will have a top 10 pick. Okay, well, what's it going to get them? And now they can't take advantage of an AFC. Let's just call it what it is. I think the AFC is as open as it's been in a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, maybe, you know, Indianapolis takes the place of what the Texans were last year. Maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars take the place of what the Texans were last year. Are the Texans going to bounce back after their confident win against Baltimore last week? It just tells me that the Steelers felt like they were pretty close last year. Last year's season, they're like, okay, we're pretty close. Let's just go for it. Let's go all in. And they, you know, and I will give them credit. They did do as much as possible. They go all in for this year.
Yeah, without mortgaging the future.
Without doing anything that's going to hurt you. Without doing anything that's going to hurt you. You get rid of Minka Fitzpatrick, you bring in Jalen Ramsey, bring in Jonnu Smith to try to enhance this team. I mean, you bring in Darius Slay, who was a Super Bowl winning corner. You bring in, obviously, Aaron Rodgers,
DK Metcalf.
Like, you are trying to go for it this year, and I give them credit because they must have felt that they were very, very close last year, and there are a couple missing pieces away. Maybe these are the missing pieces, and you kind of hope for catching a break like we talked about in the beginning of the season.
We talked about it way back when. I think it was Fox Sports that had their power rankings, and they had the Steelers as a Super Bowl contender, .. if they got some breaks. This is what Aaron Rodgers talked about in the offseason. that usually there's like six teams that can win the Super Bowl. Some years there's between 9 and 12. And I don't look at the Steelers and think, oh, in a normal year, they're good enough to hoist a Lombardi trophy. But are they good enough to make noise in what looks like a watered-down AFC? Maybe. Mm-hmm. If you win the North, you're going to get a home playoff game. And if you get a home playoff game, and again, what is a watered-down AFC? Maybe you got a shot. And isn't it worth it to try to take that shot?
Yes.
Especially when you didn't give up draft equity for next year. And if there's a quarterback that you love, you move up and get him. And right now it's looking like you might have a guy fall into your lap. Maybe you don't want that guy. And that's part of the discussion too. If there's nobody worth taking and you tanked this year, then you're winding up wasting two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I think the Steelers are going to win the AFC. I am saying I look around the AFC.
And it's not.
Mm-mm. I think Jacksonville, they give me kind of Steelers vibes. Like, again, Trevor Lawrence hasn't been great. That might be an understatement. Like, up until last night, I don't know if he's been good. And there were moments last night he was. There were moments last night where he wasn't.
He looked awful. There were moments last night.
Yeah. I mean,
there was guys wide open right in front of him. He would just like slip and fall or something.
I would not have paid him. And I understand why they did, because, shoot, what else are you going to do? If you think you might have a guy, you got to pay him. I look at San Francisco and Brock Purdy, then Mac Jones walks in and is like, is it that different? No, not really. Jacksonville wins a turnover battle. They outsack the opposition. And it's led them to 4-1. I think the AFC is ripe to be had by a team like that this year. Like, can you protect the football? Can you take the football away? Do you get after the quarterback? Can you win in a 1990s sort of style? Maybe. Kansas City not lighting the world on fire. They're under 500. The Baltimore Ravens, they stink. The Buffalo Bills just lost a game to a division rival at home on Sunday Night Football where they were a substantial favorite. Are you starting to look around and go, the AFC is there for the taking? 412-928-9370. It's weird because that was an AFC game last night, so I was like, oh, the Chiefs aren't very good, but maybe Jacksonville is. I ain't scared of the Jags.
No.
If the Jags come in second in the AFC South to Indianapolis, and you draw Jacksonville round one,
I like it.
At Acrisure Stadium,
I like it.
I would sign in blood for that. Yes. Right now.
Yes.
Because, yeah, like I said, they win the turnover battle, stuff like that, but they'd be playing on the road, and I think Trevor Lawrence can be had. Give it to me now, and I'd pick the Steelers to win that playoff game. Is the AFC wide open? Or is this something we do every year? Because teams do stumble out of the gate fairly frequently. Philadelphia the last couple of years. And then they get it together. 412-928-9370 is the number. We'll take your calls, texts, and tweets on this. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. The top two AFC favorites lost. The Bills going down at home to the New England Patriots and Drake May, who looks like the real deal. Great. They got him and Vrabel. Crap. And then last night, the Chiefs lose on the road against Jacksonville. Patrick Mahomes throws a 99-yard pick six. Trevor Lawrence falls down, gets up, and scores the game-winning touchdown with under 30 seconds to go. So the top two favorites in the AFC lose. The entire AFC North sans the Steelers lost this weekend. The Steelers resting comfortably at home. Steelers getting healthier. Alex Highsmith and Jaylen Warren practiced yesterday, as did JPJ. And JPJ spoke and said he's going to play this weekend against the Browns. So things are great in Steelersville. How wide open is the AFC? 412-928-9370. And are the Steelers in a position to be able to take advantage of this? We'll talk to Jeff Hathorn about it all coming up in 10 minutes. Texter writes in, it's way too early in the season to be jumping to end-of-season conclusions, just my opinion. No, it's just we're doing it a different way. After every game the last 5 years, it's been, well, the Steelers won, but it's not going to be good enough to win in January. What I'm asking now is the AFC down enough that you could see the Steelers taking advantage? And that's a sliding scale definition, too. What does take advantage mean? I just want to see them win a playoff game and win the AFC North. I would settle for that. It sucks that that's where the expectations have gone, but I would totally be down with that. And a week where you're leading into a divisional round playoff game where you're thinking, hey, maybe they got a shot. We haven't tasted that in a long time. I'd sign in blood for that right now.
Well, you play in January, and the success in January always dictates, in my opinion, what you do, obviously, in October, November, December. And the Steelers, over the last 5 years, when we're talking about them, like, yeah, they're going to be there. They're going to make it to the playoffs, but they'll probably lose. It's because that they lost 2 months before that games that they shouldn't have lost.
Yep.
Like, that's why I'm circling these next two games, these next two, you know, Cleveland Browns on Sunday and then the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday. Like, you cannot lose these games. If you win these games and you take advantage of the schedule, like we're talking, and you go and you win there and you maybe beat the Green Bay Packers, maybe lose to the Bills, maybe lose to the Lions, but you set yourself up for a better matchup in January. That's what it's about. It's about setting yourself up for a better matchup, and I think the Steelers got the matchup they deserved the past couple years.
Absolutely.
Whenever they have made the playoffs. And that's why that they've gotten thumped.
Bills, Chiefs, Ravens, all superpowers in the AFC. If you can win the AFC North, you're not going to have to do that.
Exactly.
Which is a big deal. I get exactly what you're saying. And I'm not going to do the thing. I heard Pomp say it yesterday. How about the number one seed, Joe? I'm not there yet. 5-1 is a must. You got to win these next two games. If you want to start, and I'm not going to get this ahead of ourselves, but if you want to be talking number one seed, you got to beat Green Bay at home.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be favored in that game if you're 5-1.
You got to beat Buffalo.
Well, and you...
Where's that at?
Acrisure.
You got to beat Buffalo. I'm sorry.
They're there to be had, man. I'm telling you.
If you are a legit team, you got to beat a legit team.
Well, I'll settle... I don't want to get too ahead.
Well.
But you go 5-1 these next two, or... 2-0 these next two to bring you to 5-1. Green Bay at home, Indy at home. You want to start thinking about buys and one seed, or you get the two seed and you play the 7. Win the next four. They're all winnable. These next two, it's unforgivable if you lose. The two that follow are absolutely winnable. And look, the Steelers haven't beat those Bills of the world, right? Unless it's like a season opener a couple years ago whenever things are fluky. But they have beat teams that are on par with them. And during the regular season last year, like, Washington was on par with them. I know Washington.
Green Bay, right?
Same thing.
Last year.
Same thing. So can you take care of business at home? You already lost a home game to a pretty good, I think, NFC team. You want to start talking pie in the sky stuff, win the next four. Take care of business these next two.
Yes.
Take care of business against the Browns.
Yes.
Much more on this as the show goes forward. We'll talk to our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, about the Steelers' injuries, his thoughts early week on the Browns game, and some Penguins predictions with Jeff as well. That's on the way. First, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.